the book of Titus chapter 3, and the verse I want to focus on is verse 5, but for the sake of connection, we'll read from verse 3. For we ourselves, that is, Paul is saying, the believers, he says, we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Well now, how does that sound for 1994, written 2,000 years ago? What changes have been made since then, I wonder, in the human nature and in the human heart? Verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Now I'd like to look at another scripture, please, in the Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, and notice verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The first scripture, it was according to His mercy. Notice here it's according to the eternal purpose. One more scripture, please, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And notice verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now we've got the three good reasons here from the Scriptures. We first read that it was according to God's mercy that He saved us. And that's very important to know that. And I want everyone to know that it's according to His eternal purpose. And I want you to know that everything that's said from this platform, by the grace of God, will be according to the Scriptures. Now, I like that first verse that we read. He says how that in times past we were foolish, disobedient, deceived, living in divers lusts and pleasures, hateful, hating one another. My, what a commentary on human nature. And as you look around the world around today, and even the world, you know, they call it the rat race. And they wonder what this thing is all about. And then we get that good news. But after that, the love and kindness of God toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. The next verse says, by the washing of regeneration and by renewing of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for that. I think it was Mr. Spurgeon, that great evangelist of, you know, 100 years or so ago. And he used to emphasize, they tell me, to young preachers. And the way he put it was something like this, that 90% of your preaching should be explaining to people in North America that salvation is not according to their works, but it's according to the mercy and the love and the grace of God. Well, no, I don't know whether it's 90% of the preaching should be that way or not, but certainly the bulk of the message, I do believe, that is necessary in the world in which I move around, is in this regard exactly. Because, you know, people, they like to justify themselves and like to feel, well, as long as I'm doing my part and I'm living my life clean and I'm doing my best, that all is well for eternity. And somehow we have that delusion. We have that strong deception. We have that lie of the devil that somehow you can do something to merit God's favor and work your way to heaven and attain it through the works of our own hands and their own efforts. Perhaps through our own prayers or our church going or whatever the effort might be. Now, you can see that's totally foreign from what the Word of God says. I have just read one verse, and we could have read other verses too. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 tells us quite clearly, by grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Anyone here tonight, and this has been your deception, and your thoughts in the past, that somehow when people die, if they're good, they go to heaven. And if they're been evil, then they go to hell. Has that been your thought? Something of that nature. Now I want to clear that up once and for all tonight, by the grace of God, if we can. That is not according to the Scriptures. The Bible won't back you up on that thought. That's not the way it is. In fact, sad to say, it's more the other way. It's the bad people go to heaven, and the good people go to hell. Now, what do you mean by that? Explain that one. Well, I think the Lord Jesus did. Kind of helps us on that. He said, he put it this way. He said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. It's only when you're sick you call the doctor. When you get the pain or something's not acting right in the body, you go and get an examination. Now, he just used that as an illustration on spiritual things. So you see, it's when a person comes to the realization of their evilness and their wickedness and their sinfulness. And I'm going to go a little further than that. Their weakness and their helplessness. I tell you, they're getting a little closer to heaven. Let's face it, we're all in the same boat. It is written, there is none that sinneth not, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're in that same boat. We're under that same condemnation. And we like to think we've got a good side, and hopefully that will outweigh the bad side. But God has seen us and declares us is all under sin. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And those that come to realize that, that's the first step on the way back. As you're coursing your way in a mad race, on a broad road, a broad and crowded road. The first hope, the first light and glimmer we get, if a soul is going to repent and believe the gospel, is that point when he comes to himself and say exactly, like the prodigal, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. And no more worthy to be called thy son. Or like the thief on the cross, we indeed justly receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. That's what God's looking for. The Apostle Paul says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And that's why the new birth is necessary, and that's why the Bible speaks of regeneration. You'll never make it on your own. The Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, bowed down in Gethsemane's garden. The Bible records it for us in the Gospels that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Another Gospel says that he, being in an agony, prayed more earnestly. The other Gospel tells us that there was sent from God an angel to comfort him and strengthen him. And the Lord Jesus prayed. And the Bible tells us in the Epistle to the Hebrews that he cried unto him with strong crying and tears, unto him who was able to save him from death. And you know what he cried? He said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." And very reverently and very carefully, in accordance with the Scriptures, we can say truthfully and from the heart tonight, it wasn't possible. They said in derision, they said to mock him, as he was expiring on the cross, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Mockery, blasphemy, but very, very true. If he was going to save me, he couldn't save himself. I couldn't do it. Talk about good works. Talk about religion. Talk about prayers. Almsgiving. You couldn't live long enough if you lived 5,000 years. It's impossible. There is only one way that we could ever be right with God. And that's for all our sins to be adequately judged and duly punished. And God provided that sacrifice, someone to come between him and take my place. And I'm thankful tonight that I can stand here and tell you that my sins are forgiven. And I know on the assurance, according to the Scriptures, that I'm going to heaven. Now, I couldn't say that if I was depending on my good life. I don't deserve heaven. I know better than anyone else that I deserve hell. But according to his mercy, he saved me. I was the recipient of God's mercy. And I want to make it clear to everyone in this room tonight, if you're ever going to be in God's heaven, you're going to have to be there as the recipient of God's mercy. Now, this goes against human pride. I'm going to tell you something else. It goes against human reason. We like to reason out and say, well, it doesn't work that way. I don't feel that. But I want to say again that what I'm saying is according to the Scriptures. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 4, he spelled it out again. He says, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. The only people that are going to be in heaven are those who are personal believers on the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody else. It was true for Paul. It was true for Titus. It was true of Peter. It was true of Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. It's true of me. It's true of everyone in this room tonight. If you're going to be in heaven, if you're only going to be there not because you've earned it, or not because you've merited it, not because you deserve it, but because you are a recipient of God's mercy. I love that picture on the Jericho Road. And there's a man that says, I'm making his journey. He fell among thieves. There may be one in this room tonight. And making that journey, you've fallen amongst thieves. And they beat him. And they stripped him. And they departed, leaving him half dead. Who's here tonight? And that's a picture of the sinner. Everything he had and held dear stripped away. They'll strip away your reputation, your self-respect, and depart, leaving you half dead. All the spiritual side dead. But thank God for one who came along. And he came to where he was. That's a picture of salvation. And Christ left the ivory palaces of glory and took upon himself the likeness of sinful flesh. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. The Bible says, even the death of the cross. And Christ came into the world to save sinners. And he went right down into that Jericho Road. And he came right down into the Highfield Road Gospel Hall on December the 19th, 1943. And he scooped me up from the side of the road in a helpless condition. I couldn't do anything to save myself. That man was there bleeding, half dead, unconscious, a total picture of helplessness and need. And the Good Samaritan picked him up. You know, I often think he must have got a little bit of blood and gore on his own clothes. The blood must have been half dried, he would stick on him, you know. Must have smeared on the saddle of his own beast. He bound up those wounds and took him to the Alfaya. Christ was scarred. Christ was scarred. After the resurrection, you go into that upper room, and he could say to one of the disciples, Thomas by name, look, Thomas, he says, reach your hand forth here, he says, and put your fingers in the fringe of the nail. Put them there, Thomas. Here, give me your hand, Thomas. Put it in my side. Thrust it into my open side, Thomas. Be not faithless, but believe. It was promised, the first promise in the Bible was made to Eve concerning Christ. And it says that he should bruise the serpent's head, and he, that is the serpent, should bruise his heel. And Christ is the one who the mighty victor who strode forth to meet the foe. And he grappled with that foe. And he won the day, and he won salvation, he did all the work. And he cried from the cross, it's finished. And he just burst the power of evil and darkness. And he won the day in 3 dark hours on Calvary's cross. When God clothed that scene for none to look upon. Christ won the day for you and I, and men and women and boys and girls. And he satisfied God completely. God being satisfied with what Christ has done. Now that's the whole story of propitiation. Because of that work of Christ, he's able to forgive the sinner. I like to explain it this way. You remember in 1967, Canada celebrated, you know, the birth of confederating the provinces together as a nation. And one of the things that was done on that time, as I remember, to celebrate the occasion, they give amnesty to a number of prisoners. One in each province and the territories, the Yukon. 12 men walked out of prison free. Minister of Justice and Prime Minister, I believe it was Mr. Trudeau at the time, they signed that document for 12 men.
And he was taken to that prison, and the prison doors were opened, and the men were set free. As I remember reading the account of it, I think the longest sentence still to be served was about 17 months. Some of them had about 4 months. He varied into 12 of them. And they were let to go out of the prison. It was done in celebration of Canada's 100th birthday. Now, you know, that is a very beautiful picture of God's love and His grace. But I want to tell you that doesn't fulfill what Christ did. That's not a good picture of what I'm talking about tonight. It's true just by love, and as I've said, the recipient of mercy, I went free. But you know, that's not a righteous way to do business. That's not a just way to do it. And had the government of Canada and the legal system, the laws of the land, been wanted to, in one hand, deal in mercy, and in the other hand, deal in righteousness, then you can see that would be necessary when that man's going out of the prison. At that same moment, someone have to come into the prison and sit there and take his place and bear out the rest of the sentence. And the man that did it would have to be someone who was absolutely innocent, not serving some other trial or sentence. And that's what God did on my behalf. That's what He does for the sinner. That's the story of propitiation. God being merciful to men on the basis of what Christ has done. And Christ was the one who came into the prison and He bore out the sentence. What God's righteousness demanded, His grace provided. Listen, I want to say that again. What God's righteousness demanded, His grace provided. Not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. What an insult to think that you could add to that, or do it on your own. Why would Christ, Paul reasons it that way. He says, as Christ died in vain, if you could make it on your own. But we couldn't make it on our own. No one would ever be in heaven because we'd all sin. And there's only one that qualified in all the universe of God to deal with sin adequately and to God's entire and eternal satisfaction. And that was His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one that qualified. And He bore my sin in His own body on the tree. He became personally accountable for human sin. That's the basis of salvation. That's a great story. No one could possibly preach a better message. It was according to His mercy. I'm going to close. Leave it. Thank you, my brother. I hope, if nothing else, we've covered that one point tonight. Don't for one second deceive yourself. Don't for one second miss this point, that if you're ever going to be in heaven, it's going to be exactly the same as anyone else's in heaven. And that's through trusting the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. God help you, Virginia.